The gospel for today is taken from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back to the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. The people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country and the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
God's beloved people. Chapman's started to come to St. Mark just about the same time I started to come to St. Mark, which was, I suppose, almost 20 years ago now. And as I recall the way it was then, Kathy and Brent would come regularly to any midweek evening services. I'm just always were there, but not so often on Sunday morning. And then after a little while, they got pregnant and had a baby. It was a girl. They named her Zoe. And they never showed up in the evening, you know, midweek services, but then started coming to the Sunday morning services. But never the first one, always the last one. So when Zoe and Chapman first started to think about this day and ask me, as one of Zoe's old pastors, actually her original, I baptized her, asked me to say a few words, my thoughts first, it never went to time with children, and they never really left there. I'm old enough, and I've been a pastor long enough to remember a time when worship did not have a time with children. My first church in Wild Rose, North Dakota, I think I did that once that I remember, and then I was in Northfield, Minnesota, and I can't remember doing that at all. When I moved to Messiah in Vancouver, I think it was the late 70s when at least I started doing time with children. And I remember resisting it at first, you know. Another preparation. And wondering, what am I supposed to do with them? And what does it mean? If I wrote a book about all my experiences with time with children, chaos would be the first title that would come to mind. But I never once in all my time at St. Mark here did I ever have to call Michelle in from the nursery to help. Although I did appreciate it when she sometimes quietly kind of hung around the narthex as if she might be needed. Still, time with children became one of my favorite things. And so when Zoe asked me about this, I wanted to say this is what it has come to mean to me and what I think it is all about. When I think of Zoe and others around here, I think of you as one of my kids. It's as simple as that. I think of time with children as an extension of the baptism ritual. I'm really glad we had a baptism today. And baptism was my favorite thing. And this little after, often chaotic ritual we do every Sunday is where all of you became, in some way, one of my kids. Just like they're your kids now. I used to always have a brown paper bag with me, as if to say, God's grace is found in ordinary, everyday brown paper bag kinds of things. But as those of you who were around then will also remember, it was my security blanket. So I brought one today. And here's what I have. This is a book I'm reading. I'm only halfway done. It's called My Grandmother Asked Me to Tell You She's Sorry by Frederick Backman. And I just want you to read this little thing. Having a grandmother is like having an army. This is a grandchild's ultimate privilege, knowing that someone is on your side, always, whatever the details, even when you are wrong, especially then, in fact. A grandmother is both a sword and a shield. I hope that's also true of grandfathers. But more than that, when all these kids are up here with time with children and they look out at all of you, they see an army. Someone who was on their side, always. Their sword and their shield. And as a pastor, I got to be your voice and your face for a while. And in so doing, they became in some way my kids. Sometimes in my occasional delusions of grandeur, I even hope I was to them a grandmother figure, part of their army, on their side, always, both a sword and a shield. Just the possibility of it makes me smile a little deeper and stand a little straighter and feel a little prouder. So, Zoe, thanks. And all my other kids out there, thanks. and grace to you, and peace, and all that good stuff. Amen.
Pastor David likes baptism. I happen to like communion because I like food, so that's and I like gathering together to do that. I was thinking about gratitude, and for me, the definition I came up with is that it's a stance of thankfulness. Gratitude is a stance of thankfulness. So like I mentioned earlier in the announcements, I was down at the fundraiser for the Living Stones congregation at the Washington Correction Center. And I heard this story about one of the items that was up for bid. And it was a Native American flute made out of wood. And so here's that story. And it was this is a typed version, but it was originally written on a paper bag. Hello, I pray this letter finds you well. I write to you on an old brown paper sack as a way to express to you the value and worth that simple things may have when we dream big. You are able to have this salmon flute because of a brown sack just like the one I write to you on. I chose a fish as a symbol of faith, not only for religious purpose, but also a bridge, a connection to the land and to the people that have lived here long before the mountain became Rainier. My name is Sequoia. Not like the tree, like the man the tree is named for. Sequoia, a Cherokee name that by himself created a written language for his people in the span of only 14 years. When I first found myself in prison, I longed for my native flute. It was my medicine, my escape, my way back to my true nature. They told me, sorry, we don't do that here. It was not written into the policy. I refused to hear them, for they did not know the love that I spoke of. So I searched for a way. I was permitted to have a hobby box and play with paper, if I so chose. I pulled a brown paper grocery sack from behind a trash can in my unit and made a fully functional native flute out of it. The bag paved the way for a full flute program at WCC. With the help of the chapter of the chaplain and pastor, DOC now could understand the love I ask about and wanted to share. So here we are, 3 years later, after that first paper flute, and now you have the chance to share in the magic. I put my soul into this gift, and with Pastor Norm's faith and seed money to purchase the kit, we together can raise your spirits and some extra seed money to carry on the ministry. This flute is made of Western red cedar and is in the pentatonic key of G. The flute case is made of new and used material scrap from our clothing and upholstery section. Yes, I sewed it and designed it, a one-off, just for you. The salmon is a sockeye male in full spawn. The beading is a salmon egg in the center of the four directions. It sits in a clack ring. Black is west from here, then white is north, yellow is south, and red is east. It is easy to make items out of wood, leather, and glass. Yet take away all the tools, and a man must get very creative. This was my journey with the sockeye salmon flute. Look very closely with your heart. and you will see and hear my story of love and support for your church. That is why I shall start the bid with half the value of such a fine work of art, which was $150, a full month of my wages as a correctional industries accountant. The value of this instrument of love is priceless, and that is why I gift it to you and your church. Signed, Sequoia, June 11th, 2016. That is a stance of thankfulness from someone in a place that most of us maybe haven't been and don't ever probably want to be, in a prison. But here's the P.S. P.S., and I had not heard this before, keep your faces to the sunshine and you will not see the shadows. And that's attributed to Helen Keller. Keep your face to the sunshine and you will not see the shadows. So, with eye protection, like Sequoia, like the man at Jesus' feet who was giving thanks to the sun, I invite you now, this moment, to give thanks. When you go outside, when that sun is there, face it. Keep your face to the sunshine, and you will not see the shadows. A stance of thankfulness. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In case you haven't figured out yet, Zoe asked each of us to speak about gratitude. And as I thought about gratitude, I thought, you know, I think it's really all about perspective. Because you don't have to even pay half attention to know that our world is a challenging and often troubling place. Things don't always go the way that we plan for it to go. I mean, just think this past week, you know, the shootings at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, immediately followed by a child being killed by an alligator at Disney World. I mean, I don't think that we can keep perspective about those things, because that's simply not the way that it's supposed to be. That's not the way God intended our world to be. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood offers some very important perspective in the midst of tragedy. He says, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. What wonderful words, because these helpers remind us that God is with us. God is present in the helpers. For this, we are grateful. Most of you know that I really like ladybugs. My love of ladybugs actually started when I was a child. We used to find them all the time in my room, and I'd like to let them go out the window. But it grew especially when I married Eric, and my initials became B-U-G. Well, ladybugs are good luck, right? I mean, that's kind of the folklore about them. Well, I've always thought that ladybugs are reminders to me of God's blessings. Not just good luck, but reminders of God's blessings. They help me keep my perspective and remember that God really is with us in this crazy life that we live. There's a poem entitled Advice from a Ladybug that's written by Alon Shamir. And I have it in a postcard and I have it on a shirt thanks to good friends. It says, spot new opportunities. Spend time in your garden. Be well-rounded. Enjoy the wonders of nature. Don't let the small things bug you. Keep family, and I would add friends, nearby. Be simply beautiful. So gratitude is all about perspective, about looking at life through the eyes of thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God for the blessings in our lives, for the beauty that we see in this world, for the beauty of creation, for the beauty of creativity, music and art, written words, the beauty of the human spirit, the beauty of love. There's one more quote that I want to share from Ian Thomas. And he writes, be soft. Do not let the world make you hard. Do not let the pain make you hate. Do not let the bitterness steal your sweetness. Take pride that even though the rest of the world may disagree, you still believe it to be a beautiful place. We need each other to remember that. Our world is a beautiful place, that we are God's beautiful children, to help us keep our perspective, to keep that attitude of gratitude. When Zoe asked us to speak, she said, we talked about having each one of us speak and then singing one of the verses of the hymn. And then as I looked at the hymn, I realized there's only 3 verses to this hymn. So I thought, okay, I can write verse 4. So verse 4 is an affirmation that we really truly need one another. The gift of Christian friends and family to keep our perspective and to remember with thanksgiving that God is with us. So I also have a reminder for you. There's like 250 of these here. So there's plenty for everybody to have one. I made ladybugs. They're different sizes. They're all round, but they're different sizes. There's one for everyone, no matter your age, to have one. And put this somewhere to remember God's blessings in your life and that you too are a blessing in this world, that you share the beauty of our God in how you live. For this, we give you thanks.
Step here. It's so nice. This is going to be short. So Melody Beattie wrote that gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for tomorrow, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Brings peace for today, creates a vision for tomorrow. While all three parts of that are beautiful and true, today I'm going to focus on the last part. Gratitude creates a vision for tomorrow. If I was compensated with $5 every time somebody asked me some variation of, what are you going to major in? What career are you pursuing? Or what are your plans for the future? I wouldn't have to worry about paying for any portion of said major. All joking aside, my answer to those questions hasn't been impressive or inspiring or even very interesting. It's been a simple, I don't know. If pressed further, the I don't know is followed by, I'm going to explore and engage and experience as much as possible and hopefully have some epic epiphany or at least stumble into a great field that I can get truly excited about. And yet that answer hasn't been entirely true. I may not know what specific job title I want to attach to myself yet, but I do know who I want to be and what I want to give to the world. I want to be St. Mark. I want to be a light to those I meet, an organism that cherishes tradition and also welcomes transitions, a force of life that transforms a rocky field into an abundant garden, an epicenter of all kinds of cool talents, and something that finds the energy and compassion and joy to give, 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 and give some more. I want to give to the world what you have given me. Thank you, St. Mark, for teaching me what love is. Thank you for always being there for support with killer potlucks and comforting prayer shawls and enveloping hugs and valuable life advice. Thank you for the music, and thank you for creating a vision for my tomorrow. I love you all.